Ministry is your whole life. It's everything you do. And so I want you to, as I kind of consider my ministries and share with you my heart behind it, take a moment to think about what it is you do. You, some of you are younger, you go to school. You have a job. You are a father. You are a husband. You are a wife. You have an actual ministry involved in this church that you lead or a part of. Think about, as we contemplate the scripture, what it is that you do. And can you truly call it a ministry? Is that really the purpose behind it? For me, my family is my ministry. I've talked about that. It's a major reason why I'm making a change in my life over the course of this year. Family, being the husband that God has called me to be, being the father he's called me to be. Teaching. I'm an economics teacher. Doesn't sound very spiritual. I teach history classes at times, economics. That is my ministry. God's allowed me to use that to provide. And I love that, but it's not just a job that helps me provide. It is a ministry. I serve heartily for the Lord. I evangelize. There's not often a day goes by that I don't have an opportunity to talk with, encourage a fellow believer, answer questions for a non-Christian, or even pray right on my campus. Coaching. I'm a basketball coach. I've taught for 16 years. I've coached for 17. Coaching is spending intimate amounts of time with a small group of people, sometimes years with the same people, clearly one full year. And so in coaching, the word that comes to mind for me is modeling. They get to see me live life all the time. They get to see me in pressure situations, in normal situations. We travel together. So I get an opportunity, if I choose to take it, to model who Jesus is in my life for both Christians and non-Christians that I coach. And finally, for me, my actual ministry here at Temecula Hills, which is children and youth that I love dearly. My focus there clearly being a grounding in the Word of God. I'll always do ministry. I'll always do ministry in the church as part of the church body, as well as the things that are outside the church body. And I do that because I believe it to be what God's Word calls me to do. John MacArthur said it this way: not to use our gift is an affront to God's wisdom, a rebuff of his love and grace, and a loss to his church. We did not determine our gift, deserve it, or earn it, but we all have a gift from the Lord. And if we do not use it, his work is weakened and his heart is grieved. Something I learned a long time ago and has echoed in my mind when I decide maybe I'll use my time for myself. Open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4. And let me share with you a passage that has taught me well and has been a way that I've formulated my philosophy of why I do the things I do in ministry. And I will be going ever so fast. But I want you to at least hear the basics. Let me read the passage as you follow along. We're going to read verse 7 through verse 11. First Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That final verse, verse 11, is painted on the wall of Tyler and I's office over at the church office, if you haven't been there. Every time we walk in, we look up. That is what we see. That is what we think each and every time. So let me go quickly through the six parts, really, to my philosophy or my heart behind ministry, maybe better said. The first one, and what I would like you to do is consider, again, your own life, your own ministry, and where these factors might fit. Verse 7, the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. I focus on eternity. In all of life, in all of ministry, and everything I do, I want to remind myself that tomorrow is promised to no one. I encourage my seniors on the first day of school that very thing. Some of you know this. I give them a pump-up speech about how great life is and the fact that they may not be here tomorrow. Welcome to your senior year. But that's reality. No one can guarantee that. And yet, unfortunately, we don't often live in light of that, do we? I don't often live in light of the fact that Jesus is coming back. Just on Thursday night, we got done with a little small series, and Tyler finished talking to us about an eternal perspective in everything we do. It's the way he tells the high schoolers he wants to be remembered as one who had an eternal perspective in everything. C.J. Mahaney said, I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but I do know this, that because of the cross, I'll be doing better than I deserve. The gospel. The end result of the gospel is heaven. The end result of the gospel is eternity. At summer camp, the high schoolers and I spent time thinking about a gospel-centered life, a cross-centered life, where that everything we are, everything we think, everything we're about is about the cross and the end result being heaven. The second, first, focus on eternity. The second, love with time. Love with time. Verse 8 and 9, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And the old phrase, teachers know this often, I don't even know who said it, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You could be brilliant, filled with wisdom, ready to disciple and guide people in your ministry, ready to come alongside family members and neighbors, but they really don't care how much you know about the Word of God, how much you know about life, how much you know about eternity, until they know you love them. And that is so best said with your time. My ministry with young people has been about living life with them. I've taught lessons, and I've studied and taken them through series, and I've preached the Word to the best of my ability. But what they often remember is the time we spent together, the conversations, the adventures, so often the tears. That's what they remember. And when you don't spend time with people, when you don't invest in them, they find it hard to believe that you love them. And I'll be honest, there are people in this congregation that I love dearly. But I think they would have a hard time believing that because I don't spend a lot of time with them. And I know we can't spend a lot of time with everyone we love. But in your ministry, remind yourself, you need to invest in people. The third, verse 10, is to serve Christ's church. So focus on eternity, love with time, serve Christ's church. Ephesians 4:16 reminds us that every part needs to do its share. Romans 12:1, that we're to be a living sacrifice, and that that's our service. 1 Corinthians 6:20 reminds us that we were bought with a price. You and I are not our own. Everything we are, everything we have, belongs to our Creator. And he doesn't just suggest, he tells us, serve one another. And that's so crucial for you to hear from me, even as wherever God takes me as far as ministry in our church, you'll know that I'm committed to that personally. There was a time when I was not, just a moment, when I went to Hawaii for college, I had an opportunity to join a small Baptist church. There was only a few churches on the Big Island that I believe taught the Bible, and a couple of them were a little intimidating to me and different styles and things, but I found this little Baptist church, Kaumana Drive Baptist Church, with Pastor Ian Sakai. And the coolest thing about the church is that I was the tallest person in the church. Only time in history, I think, that I would be taller than most. Until my roommate came, who was 6'8", and that ruined everything. I served there. I served teaching kindergarten through fifth grade, much like I'm doing now. Times don't change. But then I got an opportunity to go to the master's college to build a foundation of the Word of God, and I got an opportunity to attend John MacArthur, a hero of the faith of mine, and he would travel around with our basketball team and spend time with us, and it was great. And I'd go to his church, and his church is amazing. I take our high schoolers usually once a year. just to see a whole different style. Because so many of our youth have only known elementary schools, which is great. We're blessed to be here, but this is a little different. But you know what? For those 2 years, I didn't serve at all in the church. I was fed. And yes, you can argue it was a time for me to grow, but I will tell you that I was lacking something during those years. Tremendous growth, tremendous understanding. But I knew and I sensed at the time that I was lacking something, and that lacking was service and connection with the body of Christ. It doesn't necessarily mean leading. It doesn't necessarily even mean, you know, being a part of an actual ministry, but loving and serving brothers and sisters within a group of believers. That's a huge part of your growth. That's a huge part of your Christian life, your experience with God. Focus on eternity, love with time, serve Christ's church, and verse 11, the one on my wall. Teach the Bible. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. I love that because I just love that word. It's just a great word, the oracles of God. It sounds, as it should, majestic, amazing, powerful, larger than us, and it is. That's why I love that word. Accurate, rightly handled, solid doctrine. I'll tell you, when I was considering through the same things I shared with you earlier for the last 7 years, one of the considerations was, would God have me go into full-time ministry? Which I kind of believe I am in full-time ministry, but you know what I mean. Ending teaching and coaching and serving in the church full-time. Well, one of the things I knew for sure would have to happen is that I would need to go back and learn more. I'm limited, as we all probably feel we are, in my understanding. Now, that's not the way God took me, and I'm clear and I'm comfortable with that direction. But had I gone that direction, going back to seminary and learning more would have been the very first step, a commitment to that right handling of God's word. When I say teach the Bible, as a teacher, this is an interesting focus for me in ministry because I teach every day, and I'm required to teach certain things. And being and trying very hard to be a man of integrity, I want to do that. I can't walk into economics and preach the word. Although some of my students know I try very hard to fit it in everywhere I can. But I was reminded, my very first teaching experience. I'm a student teacher teaching 12th grade government in Santa Clarita. My master teacher is an incredible teacher, but truly not a believer. And a student comes up to me and says, I want to talk about the master's college. And so trying to be careful, I said, can I talk about this? Is this okay? And then, because knowing he's going to evaluate me. What's legal? What am I supposed to do? He said, no, outside of class, that's fine. He encouraged me, go for it. And I sat down, and I'd been sharing my life with these kids and doing the best I could as a 22-year-old teacher of 18-year-olds. And we sat down, and interesting enough, her name was Andy, with an I, because you know that's a girl thing. And we sat down, and I started saying, well, you know, the school has this program and this program, and this academic, here's where you register, and da, 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 da. And I started to feel like that wasn't what she wanted to talk about. She said, no. That's not what I meant. So, well, you know, are you a Christian? Are you? Well, no, I'm not a Christian. I'd like to know how to be one. Okay, so I go through my whole gospel presentation and I start sharing everything from Genesis to the, and I'm going through it all and I'm fired up. And then you get to that point where you're not sure. Like, do I now say, can we pray? Do I now say, did it work? I wasn't sure. And I stopped and went, are you prepared to accept this as true? That the word of God is accurate, that Jesus, who he said he is, he died on the cross, rose for your sins. Are you ready to accept that? She goes, yeah, what do you think I came here for? And I've never forgot that. Because when I go to school in the morning, that response echoes in my heart and in my mind. What do you think I came here for? Not economics. I didn't come here for a high school diploma. I didn't come here for government or U.S. history. Give me the truth. And even if they don't know it, I'm going to make sure I give them the truth. 11b, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. My fifth heart of ministry is that we serve by God's strength, Not my own wisdom, not my own strategy, not my own creativity. In fact, I've become fearful of those things. Not that I don't want to use everything God has given me to do the best job I can, but I want to make sure that the power behind anything I'm doing, the power behind the people I'm loving and caring for, the power behind what I'm teaching is not my own. I don't know exactly how to make that happen. I wish I had better wisdom for you, other than to pray and to know in your heart that anything good that comes from us is from the Father in heaven. Trusting and resting on His power. And it should be clear that the only reason for success in your ministries, remember your ministries are any part of life, is the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. The one that's worthy of praise and glory. And at the end, as all things should end with this, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We exist, I exist, to magnify the greatness of God to this world. It's why I wake up, it's why I go to sleep, and everything in between. And I know, believers, we've been in the church, and so many of you, older and wiser than I am, you know to say this. My high schoolers know to say this with their mouths. They know that their school and their jobs and their sports, and parents, we know that our jobs and our parenting, all to the glory of God, and we can communicate that, but can we live it? Is it a reality that there is no purpose beyond His glory? There is no thing that steps outside of His glory. If I'm going to exercise and keep my body healthy, if I'm going to take my wife on a date, if I'm going to teach economics, if I'm going to coach basketball, the first and foremost and always the goal is the glory of God, because He's the only one that deserves it. Our God is awesome and majestic. He's loving and merciful, He's powerful, and He's worthy. And we are not. And yet if we're not careful, we will steal that glory from Him. We will start to take it for ourselves, and we'll start to believe the things people tell us, rather than acknowledging again that He's the only one worthy. As that's our life, that's our ministry, that's what I do. And I know that was simple and quick, and I appreciate your patience with that. But I ask myself often, I can say those things to you right now. I can know the scripture and say, this is where I decide how I'm going to do ministry, but do I live it every day? Do you reserve all the glory for Him? Do you rely on His strength and not your own? Do you know and speak truth into people's lives? Even when you're selling something, building something, teaching something? Do you use the gifts that God has given you to serve the body of Christ? Do you love people by investing time? And in all things, do you keep your eyes fixed on eternity, knowing that this day may be the last one. Jesus is coming back. There may be questions on when that we will not know, but we know He's coming back. So do everything today with eternity in mind. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love You, and we love You for who You are. Father, we worship You for who You are. Lord, we ask that You would move in the hearts of people that do not truly know You. So many seem to have wisdom, seem to have understanding, and yet in the deepest, darkest places of their heart, they feel that emptiness. Father, so many opportunities to minister Your grace to this hurting world, so many opportunities to love. Help us not to miss it. Father, teach us new today that each and everything we do throughout an entire day, whether we eat, drink, or whatever we do all to Your glory, to Your honor, to Your praise. Father, I ask that You continually convict my heart and all of us here, that if there are things that we reserve for ourselves, things that we consider outside the spiritual realm, Father, remind us how foolish we are, that there is nothing outside your realm, that our very reason for being here is to show this world how amazing you are and to draw them to you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you that you brought people here for a purpose. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen.